Greetings, greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host. Wow, what a night to lose my voice. What a night. Normally, in 10 years of doing a talk show, if I lost my voice, which almost never happened, maybe once or twice, in 10 years, I'd have a co-host or somebody fill in for me. But tonight is our first night on Information Radio Network, which we're ecstatic about. Bob Enyart Live has been a talk show out of Denver, Colorado for about 10 years. And tonight we are beginning a new chapter in our broadcast history on Information Radio Network. Hey, that sounds good. Let's use that for the close of the show. I like that music. Good. And we will not only are we on Information Radio Network tonight, but also in New York State. Now, this is pretty exciting. WRSB Radio in Rochester, New York. It's thrilling to be on there. Now, the poor people up there in Rochester, they're going to think that this perhaps is my normal voice. And, well, maybe that's good, because then the show will improve for sure by tomorrow night, Lord willing. So we'll go to the phones early this evening because of my voice. Maybe we'll get somebody to debate or fight with me, and the adrenaline will naturally bring my vocal cords back into full service. But before we do that, just a couple comments about what's happening in the war against terrorism. The good news is that Israel has entered the war against terrorism. Israel has entered the war for as long as I could remember. I'm 42. For as long as I could remember, Israel has been restrained by America. When they get attacked by terrorists, we stop them from exacting vengeance, retribution, and deterring more terrorism. We stopped them. Now, Israel's hand has been freed, and there's one name, there's one man in all the world that freed Israel's hand to put down the PLO and the terrorism that emanates from it. Who freed Israel's hand? Who freed them up? Right, that's the question for tonight's show. We'll see if any of our callers could figure that out. Our phone number is 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to go to our first caller in Muncie, Indiana. Kirk, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. You sound funny tonight. The callers won't recognize you when you come on and have your real voice.
But that's right. That's right. Maybe we could play a trick or something.
The media is having a hard time tonight, and Larry King's got the father on, but there's this 20-year-old guy named John Walker Linda, and he apparently went over to Afghanistan, studied in Pakistan, became a Muslim. He's a 20-year-old American,
right?
Fighting with the Taliban.
He converted to Islam here. His spiritual leader suggested he go to Yemen to study Arabic. In Yemen, he headed off to Pakistan, where he joined up with the Taliban and was fighting on the front lines north of Kabul before he ended up in the Kunduz mess.
Right. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I go, the media is having a really hard time figuring out what to do with this guy. Alan Dershowitz, was really having a hard time on CNN tonight. Of course, he's always confused, I think.
Yeah, he is. That's right.
And even the Defense Department said they didn't know what they were going to do with him. I mean, personally, I think he ought to be shot for being a traitor.
Of course he should be shot. Of course he should. This is a time of war. He took weapons up against his government. He sided with the terrorists. He's, for all intents and purposes, he's a member of Al-Qaeda. He is the enemy. He is a modern-day Benedict Arnold. He should be executed for treason.
We'll see if that ends up happening, but the way it's going, it looks like they're going to turn him into another victim, another Patty Hearst type is the comparison I've been hearing. So I hope that doesn't happen. I hope they put him at least in the military tribunal and and bring him to justice.
They've already said they will not put him in a military tribunal. And the problem with, you know, a lot of conservatives are afraid of military tribunals. And if we could talk about that for just one moment, what reason would we as Americans have for not trusting our military in matters of justice? We trust them with nuclear weapons. We trust them with fighter jets and the Apache helicopter that I worked on when I worked for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company. We trust them with those toys. So why not trust them with justice? The Universal Code of Military Justice, the military has tried how many Americans? Quite a large number over the years, the decades, the centuries now. And if they could try Americans who are in the military, who are suspected of committing a crime or violating the military's code of justice, then why can't they try a foreigner who is suspected of being a terrorist against us? Mm-hmm. What reason would we have for not trusting them? I can't comprehend that. You mean you would trust a Manhattan jury more than generals in the military?
A no-brainer to me. I mean, given some of the verdicts we've had with O.J. Simpson and other just, you know, verdicts where the outcome should be obvious, and yet the murderer or the perpetrator got away.
Right. Now, but there's no way that we're going to try him in a military tribunal. That would be appropriate, but we don't quite have the stomach for that. So he'll be turned over to the Justice Department, and John Ashcroft will see if he can figure out what to do with him.
We may be waiting several years for...
Yeah, right, and appeals, and appeal after appeal, and he'll probably end up in jail for a few years and out on probation, maybe doing community service at a local abortion mill.
And then starting his own mosque in wherever he moves to.
Yeah, and he could help recruit for Osama bin Two.
A question not related to the war, but it's kind of disturbing to me. I'm debating Deuteronomy 22, 28, and 29. This is about the man that finds the virgin and they have sex, and the Bible commands that they marry. And it looks to me in the New King James that this is a case of fornication, and the Bible commands them to marry. And I believe we talked about that before, and that's pretty much you believe that to be true, right, Bob?
I think that generally, if young people have relations outside of marriage, nowhere in the Bible does God say they should be executed.
Mm-hmm.
Execution in the Mosaic law, if someone lies with another man's wife, he should be executed. That's another man's wife, but not with an unmarried woman. We'll be right back.
Some people believe that Christians can speak in tongues. Some people believe that speaking in tongues has passed away. Are we saved by grace alone, or are there works involved? Some people believe that miracles are happening today. Others don't. How can all these disagreements come from the Bible if it's the inspired Word of God? Is there an answer to all these questions? In his book, The Plot, Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, shows you the one Bible verse that solves all the apparent contradictions. Think that one verse can't solve these complex problems? Get The Plot today, and if you're not convinced, we will refund your money. Order The Plot for $29.95. Does God want the government to execute criminals? The Old Testament supports the death penalty, but now we are to turn the other cheek, right? The New Testament material concerning the death penalty starts in Matthew and continues through all the Gospels, Acts and Romans. It goes all through to Revelation. God and the Death Penalty is the video we've produced to arm you with the New Testament support for executing criminals. If the death penalty is immoral, then what does that say of God the Father demanding that Jesus Christ die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins? God and the Death Penalty, a two-hour video exploring the biblical support of the death penalty, is available for $24.95 by calling 1-888-8-ENYART. Bob Enyart Live is back on the air, but to stay on the air and grow, we need to hear from you. We offer many products with Bob's insightful and unique biblical perspective. If you appreciate Bob's ministry, let us know by writing us at Bob Benyart Live, P.O. Box 583, Arvada, Colorado 80001, or go online to KGOV.com.
And we are back, Bob Benyart Live, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. And I'm going to ask our caller from Muncie, Indiana. I'm going to ask Kirk. Hey, Kirk. Kirk, I have a question for you. If you could hold on for a moment while I take another call. Mm-hmm. Okay. You can do that? Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll be right back with Kirk. And I want to go to Rochester, New York, to the man who actually is responsible for us being on in upstate New York, Dr. Wolf. Doc, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing well, except for my voice.
Well, you know, Bob, also, I think it would be good for you to take a little time because somehow the connection for you guys to get involved with IRN and out over the satellite didn't get on for
the first few minutes.
Yeah, well, quite a few minutes. It's close about, well, after the news, you're right. So I think it'd be good for you, Bob. I'm not telling you what to do in your program.
No,
thanks,
please,
for allowing me to call and taking my call. But while I wait for a few minutes, why don't you tell everybody who you are and what you're doing, so, because it didn't get into the...
All right. I appreciate that. We of course, got the feedback that the signal wasn't getting across the airwaves. But yeah. But I'm glad to hear it was at least a few minutes. So let me do that. Let me let people in New York State know, and those listening on Information Radio Network, that I am Bob Benyart. And the way, the way I've introduced myself for 10 years now is Bob Benyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host.
Isn't that something? I thought you were going to be bobbing along with Bob.
Yes, that's right. This is a little confrontational. Right-wing religious fanatic.
Bob, I'm going to throw this at you, bless your heart. It's a blessing to be right, whether it's far right, whether we're right wing, at least we're not left.
Yeah, amen. You know, God
is... in Ecclesiastes 10:2, it says, a man's heart is on his right, but a fool's is on his left.
Yeah, a good man's heart is on his right.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I have a hockey shirt with that verse on it.
Good for you. Do you sell it?
No, we don't.
Well, but, you ought to.
Well, let me tell you, the guy who plays the organ for the Indianapolis Ice in Indiana... He had a team shirt made for me with my name on it with that verse.
Wow, isn't that great?
The good man's heart is on his right.
Yeah.
God is a right-wing God.
Amen.
Right means...
I mean, how could God be wrong?
That's right. And how could he be left? Because left wing is evil.
The Bible says the right hand of God.
Yeah. And right just flat out means right. It's always meant conservative. You know, in different countries around the world, different languages, like in French, the word for left, it's a word for sinister. And I was on a plane flying with a guy from China, and I was talking to him about the difference between right and left. And I said, quite often in many languages, right means correct, like it does in English,
right,
and left means wrong or evil or left out. And he wrote down for me the symbol of right in Chinese in a pictograph, and he said it's the same thing here too.
Wow.
And so these concepts are ancient, and they go all the way back to our right-wing God.
I think you and I ought to pull our efforts together and get some shirts out. A wise man's heart is at his right hand.
That's right.
And a fool's heart at his left.
That's right. And, you know, that's exactly right. Pastor, well, hey, Doc, I just called you pastor.
I am a pastor.
You're a preacher, too.
Yeah.
On the radio.
Yeah.
I know that. Well, I pastor.
Well, you were on my program earlier.
Today for an
and
hour.
I got calls and not one in opposition.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I did have somebody say that they're going to miss hearing me at 9 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh.
But they said it sounds like, and I'm not putting this on, Gail isn't here, in what I'm doing, but she'll verify this. But they said it sounds like this Bob Enyard is going to be a good babbler for the truth, and he knows what he's doing. And so I'm really excited about you being on the Sunshine Radio Network. We have WASB 1590, which is Brockport, a college suburb town of Rochester, Brockport, Rochester. And then another college town, WRSB Canandaigua, Rochester. And we got 105.5 FM covering all of Rochester. I don't know how many people may call or let you know they're in western Syracuse to eastern Buffalo, but we cover upstate New York. But there are eight different stations that reach or touch into the edges or across Rochester that claim to be Christian. And I'm not bragging, Bob. I'm just telling you a fact.
All right.
We are the only ones that would have a program like you or ours.
I believe that, Doc. There's no question that I believe that. And we've been on for about 10 years, radio and TV, and we've seen in the Christian community, if you strongly confront homosexuality, you're not really welcome in Christian circles.
Well, you don't show that you love them.
Mm.
That's what they say. I had a guy call me on our program, and I was telling the truth. I was showing that the homosexual abuse of partners and of young people and so on, it's 600%
higher
than heterosexuals. And a fella called me up and he said, you know, you're really dealing with these queers. Now that's the word he used.
Right.
And I thought maybe he was really battling the homosexuals. And he said, it looks like you're really battling the queers and you're against queers. And he said, I really think that your attitude to homosexuals is wrong. He said, how would you like to have me come over and rough you up a little bit? And I said, well, we're armed and we're alarmed. So we'll know if you come in, you know.
All right, Doc. Hey, we've had threats from homosexuals over the years. In fact, most of the threats we've received, most of the death threats have come from homosexuals.
Yes.
They've called general managers.
Do you think that's love on their part?
Well, they're the beautiful people, you know.
Yeah.
When I get invited every once in a while, perhaps this month again, on ABC's Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the beautiful people.
You sure tell our people when you go on, because it just may be that they don't want to watch television other than that.
Well, yeah, I would never watch that show. Even if I was on it, I wouldn't watch it. That's just a pitiful show.
It is. I've seen it a few times.
But they're the beautiful people where they love and respect and tolerate and believe in diversity. Mm-hmm. And they're the most hate-filled, wretched crowd, that Hollywood crowd you ever want to know.
And, you know, thank God that you're telling the truth. I know you got a lot of people, a lot of things, and we kind of invited each other on the show, and I know you got other things to do, so it wouldn't be right for me to take a long time and whatever. But let me just say this, and any question or thought you had, and then I'll get out of your way. We're very proud to have you on. It enhances our programming by the kind of program you have. I like the fact that it's a talk show, even out here in New York at 9 o'clock, nine to ten.
It's a perfect time slot.
I really do pray that people will call in, those who have listened at 9 o'clock otherwise, and give you an encouragement. I trust that they'll buy your wares. I did hear the ad on the IRN on the radio as it came through the satellite on one, and I heard a different one on the phone. So I'm sure you're going to be getting all of that together and
we'll work all that out.
I just want people to respond.
That's right.
Sponsor you, because I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, you're on, but you're also helping us financially. And I want people to know that you're not just rolling out there and everything's just absolutely free, nor is it to us.
No, you're exactly right. In this world, you got to pay your own way.
Right.
The Apostle Paul was a tent maker.
Anytime we can be on, and sometime along the way, I'll even bug you, I'll call you and say, hey, how you doing there, Bob?
But good.
God bless you so much, and God bless your family. God bless your Bible church out there in Denver. Mm. And I'm just proud to have you as part of us, because it's good for all of us. It's a win-win situation. And I'll say this last. Anybody, be they homosexual, lesbian, Islamic, Jewish, Gentile that doesn't know the Lord, the one thing I know that they'll hear from this program, Bob, and we're and you're live, will be how to come to Jesus Christ. Because after everything is said and done, I like what Gail Russ, a musician, he is a Faith Music Missions down in Evansville, Indiana. He wrote a song, and he said something better than going to heaven is taking somebody with you.
Wow, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Now, that's Evansville, Indiana?
Yes, sir. His name is Gail Russ.
Well, Doc, we have a caller. Our first caller on the show is from Muncie, Indiana.
Well, good. My children live in Hammond, Indiana. I got a Barbie doll and a Danny boy. They're both on a church and college staff there, and my son-in-law is a deacon. And so Indiana is very special to me.
Us also.
And so I'm going to get off the horn. And
thank
God
you,
bless
Doc.
You very much, Bob.
God bless you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
That's great to hear from Doc Wolf at WRSB, and you heard all the other radio stations that he mentioned, that we really struck it big here, not just on one New York affiliate, but a handful, and we're thrilled about that. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now I'm going to go back to Muncie, Indiana, and Kirk, thanks for waiting.
No problem. Have you ever been on in New York, Bob? I mean, I knew you were on in 85 cities on LaCie.
Kirk, I think it was about 4 a.m., we were on one or two small stations in New York for a while. But this is the most significant presence we've had in New York, and we hope it grows.
That's going to be a new experience for people that are used to the nicer than God Christianity, because you tell the truth on this show, and it's refreshing. I'm sure a lot of people will find it refreshing. I'm sure you build a big audience in New York. But I wanted to get back to Deuteronomy 22, 28, 29.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's clear to me in the New King James that man having fornication, in this case, with a virgin, the Bible requires them to marry.
Right.
So that was clear in my mind. I even called you about this before on your internet show. But then I read in the NIV Bible, it says the man rapes the virgin.
Well, now, do you know what we call the NIV Bible?
HIV?
We call it the HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you know, so you do know, Kirk, you listen carefully to this show. Why do you know why we call it the HIV?
I'm not sure why you call it the HIV, but I know they had a lesbian on the translating committee.
They not only had a lesbian who was a wordsmith, but they also had a homosexual who had more influence on the translation than the lesbian did. And that's now been publicly admitted, and World Magazine and other reputable sources, credible sources, have pretty much told that whole story about homosexuals on the NIV translating committee. And not only that, the owner of the NIV released a gender-neutral version of the NIV in England, and they were going to release one here, and focus on the family, and other Christian groups began to boycott the gender-neutral and the children's version, and so that stopped the gender-neutral version from being distributed here in the States.
I always knew it was a poor translation, but this...
Poor translation.
And this is really almost... Is this almost a perversion of the Bible in this case?
It is a perversion, because if a man rapes a woman, and then God says he should marry her, that's about as vulgar as you can get.
And it's pretty clear in the New King James, even in the NIV, it says if they're discovered. Now, if it was a rape, why wouldn't the woman want to be discovered?
Right. If they are found out, meaning they were both trying to hide it, but they failed, we'll be back in a moment.
All lines are busy at this time. For updated information on Bob's national tour and ShadowGov demonstrations, press 1. For Bob's mailing address, press 2. And if you're an atheist, an anarchist, an evolutionist, a humanist, a communist, a socialist, a garden variety, sodomite, a Democrat, or a transgendered freak of nature, press 3. If you're ordering by credit card, please leave your name and phone number, and your call will be returned.
Hey, you must be them NYART people! Well, I'm not like any of those things that I just heard in that list of things he just said. I'm not an evolutionist or nothing like that. But I would just want to know if you're the guy I've seen on Politically Incorrect. Yeah, that's it. I just wanted to tell you that I think you guys rock. You guys are really cool, and you need to keep up the good work. So this is George from Jersey. Out.
Hi, I'm a garden variety sodomite and a transgendered freak of nature, and I'd really love a call back from Bob Inyart, so if you could give me a buzz. My name's Cody Lightholt. My phone number is 7. I'd really appreciate being straightened out, because I'm sick of being a dirty fag. So thanks a bunch, Bobby. Talk to you later.
Hey, Mr. Inyart, I have actually viewed your website, and then I saw you on Politically Incorrect 3 times, and, well, I don't know what to say about you. All I can say is that I had an uncle that died of AIDS. I'm sure you refer to it as the gay plague. All I can say is that the majority of gays in this country are better people than you. Better than you or any other thing that you could ever be. I hate you, and I wish you had cancer.
I have never in my life heard such a hypocrite as this Bob Inyart. How in the world do you dare put him on the air? How can he judge anybody? He is terrible. You ought to be ashamed to even have him walking around.
Hey, Bob, I'm drunk. And guess what? God ain't gonna help me on this one. Take a guess of what I'm drinking. I'm drinking some vodka and some strawberry crush, buddy. Let me tell you what. I bet you're against too, right? Yeah, let me tell you something. Oh, yeah, and juice, too. Guess what, Bob Inyart? I'll tell you something. Bob Inyart, guess what? I'm really seriously drunk, but anyhow. Check it out, though. So, I'm a garden variety sodomite. Bob Inyart. Check my bum.
And we are back, Bob Inyart Live, 1-800-8-INYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, that was a really funny break. That was really funny, guys. Not the news. The news, of course, was not funny. But the weird things that happened in our studio during that break, that was funny. Okay, I asked Kirk to hold on, because we're going to go to our first caller. Now, the last caller was set up from New York State, because Doc is the owner of our affiliates out there. But this is a caller from the community. Mike, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I listen to the Sunshine Radio Network a lot at this time, and I was very pleased to come upon your show at this time, and great. I'm a faithful listener. But I had a question regarding the New International Version. An author by the name of Edward DeVries writes, he has a doctorate, by the way, but he writes in one of his books about the New International Version using a lexicon called the Kittel Lexicon. Mr. Kittel was a neo-Nazi, and he was a member of Hitler's cabinet, and his job was to produce a translation of the Bible that would convince German Lutherans to send German Jews to the gas chambers, or at least convince them that it was humane or that it was appropriate to do so. And I was wondering what your thoughts would be on that, because the NIV translators and other modern versions relied on the Kittel lexicon to determine word choices in their versions. And since they relied almost exclusively upon his lexicon, I wonder if you could follow the stream of logic and ultimate conclusion that says, well, the NIV comes from really a Nazi lexicon.
Well, you have just educated me, Mike. I haven't heard about this Kittel lexicon, but if the NIV translation committee could be so unwise and undiscerning as to have a homosexual and a lesbian on their team, it would not surprise me any depth of depravity that they might sink into. And if the owners of the NIV, the United Bible Society, if they would be so bold as to produce a gender-neutral version of the NIV for sale. In fact, Focus on the Family did a recall of all the children's NIVs they had sold because they unknowingly were distributing the gender-neutral version. So I hadn't heard about this Kittle Lexicon, but could you tell us something else about it, a little more info?
Well, the information that I do have on, I share the information that I mostly had on it.
Okay, Edward DeVries, what's the name of his book?
His book is The Word of God, Divinely Inspired and Inerrantly Preserved, Lessons That Build Faith in a Perfect Bible. It's the main title is Divinely Inspired and Inerrantly Preserved.
All right. Hey, could we talk about the idea of getting Germans to think it'd be a good idea to kill Jews?
Okay.
Let's talk about that for a moment, because there you struck on something that I have looked into, and it's the hatred against the Jews that has gone way back in Christian history, back to the earliest centuries of Christianity.
That's right.
And it's very well preserved and documented in the historic record. And if we just look, if we just go back a few centuries to Martin Luther, one of the books I've written, it's available only in manuscript form. It's called The Plot, The Plot of the Bible. And in here, Mike, I have quotes from Martin Luther, things he wrote about the Jews. Have you heard of his book titled On the Jews and Their Lies?
No, sir, I haven't.
All right. I have a couple quotes here from Martin Luther that I think maybe I'll run them by you.
Okay.
Because it won't take long, just a couple. Let's see here. Okay, he says in his book On the Jews and Their Lies, it's a rather lengthy book too, a couple hundred pages. He says, I had made up my mind to write no more either about the Jews or against them, these miserable and accursed people, much less do I propose to convert the Jews, for that is impossible. Okay, so he says, I do not propose to convert Jews, because that's impossible. You know, maybe he'd never heard of the Apostle Paul.
That's right.
And not to mention the rest of the apostles, who I guess I just mentioned, and Jesus himself. But Paul was a Jew, obviously, as many of his converts were, though most of them were Gentiles. And so here, let me continue. He says, listen, Jew, this is how Luther writes, your Jerusalem, your temple, and priesthood have been destroyed. Let the Jews bite on this nut. He said, we are even at fault in not avenging all this innocent blood of our Lord and of the Christians, which they shed for 300 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, and the blood of the children they have shed since then, which still shines forth from their eyes and their skin. Now, you might be familiar that for centuries in Europe, there was a propaganda lie against the Jews that they would kill Christian children and drink their blood, and that you can see the blood of the children through a Jewish person's eyes. And Luther sunk to such despicable levels that he repeated and tried to give credibility to that lie. And then he wrote, we are at fault in not slaying them. And when I came across this, Mike, I read it in English because I don't read German. I don't read High German. Martin Luther basically defined the German language by translating the Bible into German. And so what I did was I brought a German friend of mine, a Christian, to a local university, and we got Martin Luther's complete works in German. And I opened to the passages and asked my friend to read. And my friend began shaking, and then practically crying by what he was reading. Luther urged concentration camps for the Jews to destroy their homes, destroy their businesses, put them in camps, don't allow them to buy or sell. He says we should be... we should repent that we haven't already killed them. So when the Nazis were at the Nuremberg trials, and their defense was, we are doing what Martin Luther told us we should do. We're being good Christians, good Lutherans. That was their defense.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I have some other information. There is a book written by a gentleman by the name of DeRosa, I think, Peter DeRosa, called The Dark Side of the Papacy. I think it was written about 1988, 1989. And he has an excellent source of documentation where he quotes the hatred for the Jews even in the Catholic papacy. But with all that set aside, we know why there is a hatred for the Jew. According to God's word, God made a threefold promise with Abraham, mm-hmm. some 4,000 years, and mm-hmm. when God called him, he said, I'm going to make your name great, and more people have heard the name of Abraham than any other man who has ever lived on top side of this earth besides Jesus Christ, and some even say even more so.
Mm-hmm.
Second, God said, I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to bring from you a nation, a unique nation. And God also said, I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations of the world. And we see today that Jesus Christ, who came from this seed, has been the greatest blessing that has come upon all the nations of the earth who came through the line of the Jew. And we see that anti-Semitism from Haman down to Hitler demonstrates the accuracy of the Bible when it says that God will bless them that bless thee and curseth them that curseth thee.
Hey, Mike, the beginning of our show didn't make it to New York, but I started out saying the good news today is that Israel has entered our war against terrorism, and we are fighting on their side against the terrorists. And you're exactly right. The Palestinians, they could have a reasonably prosperous life if they had not committed themselves to destroying Israel, which is a goal that they can never achieve.
That's right. And God has promised in his word, though God has had to severely dealt with Israel a few times, but God says in Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 11, and he has a clear-cut announcement of Israel's survival when he says, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So we see that God may punish Israel, but God has promised the survival of this nation.
That's why they're still here after thousands of years, when countless other tribes, peoples, nations, tongues, even empires are lost to history. Jerusalem, the Jew, the people of Israel are still here and still at the center of the world's attention. Mike, we got to go to a break. And when we come back, I want to get to my long lost caller from Indiana. So thank you so much for your call.
Thank you for allowing me on.
God bless you.
Can a Christian lie without sinning? If the Nazis were at your door, is it a sin to lie to them so they don't find the family of Jews living in your attic? Was it wrong for the Hebrew midwives to lie to save the Israelite babies in Exodus chapter 1? And if that was immoral, then why did God reward them? Are Christians today nicer than God? Would the average Christian condemn Jesus if he came back today and call people names like swine, Matthew 7, or a dog, Matthew 15, or a snake or a brood of vipers, Matthew 23. Today, that would be considered unchristlike by most Christians, but he said it. And in an effort to make you more Christlike, we've put together a 6-tape audio album called Nicer Than God. It's available for $29.95. Get the information you won't receive in the average Nicer Than God church. The world we live in is an immoral, disgusting mess. The problems parents face in raising children today are enormous and growing. So to help you in your responsibility to raise godly young men and women, we at Bob Benyard Live are offering the Train Up a Child package. The first item is a 100-page book written by Michael and Debbie Pearl called To Train Up a Child. With over 300,000 copies in print, this is an invaluable resource for parents based on biblical truth, not psychobabble. And always easy to understand and clear-thinking, Pastor Bob Enyart rounds out this teaching tool. Included in the package are two sermons on child-rearing delivered by Pastor Enyart to his congregation in Denver, Colorado. Order the Train Up a Child package for $14.95 and get your child on the right path.
And we are back, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. Hey, maybe if I eat the microphone, then my voice will come across better on the air. If I swallow it, and then I talk from inside my stomach. How does that work? The microphone is now actually inside my throat. I'll take it out. No, that didn't work, did it? I swallowed the microphone. Somebody got a rag or something with some Windex? Clean this microphone off? Oh, no. Okay. Hey, let me get back to my caller here. Okay, so back to Indiana. Kirk, thank you so much for holding, Kirk.
Well, Bob, I think what you needed to produce when your voice is going a little bad is some, you know, promotions for the Partnership for Homo Free America. Those are very good.
You remember that, huh?
Oh, those are great. I mean, I think you had like at least four or five of them on TV too. You had
on TV they were funny, weren't the Partnership for a Homo Free America?
Friends don't let friends be homos.
That's right. It really is a great partnership, and it's made a lot of headway.
Oh yeah, and gets people's attention. I can tell you that much. Yeah.
You know, in polite company, you know, sometimes on this show we might use the word homo. Just because it's, you know, short for homosexual. But in polite company, you can't even say anything negative about a homosexual. Nothing. You will be run out of town on a rail if you're a Republican or a media personality or whoever. If you say anything against homosexuals, that's it. You're persona non grata.
And if you point out the obvious, that they molested a disproportionate number of kids, or that they right. account for a disproportionate number of AIDS, hepatitis, and syphilis, you know, you'll be called a bigot.
Well, homosexuals reproduce by molesting children. Mm-hmm. They do reproduce sexually by molesting kids. That's the number one way that homosexuality spreads.
And their argument now is, well, homosexuals don't molest kids. Pedophiles molest kids.
Right. They say if a man molests a boy, he cannot be a homosexual. That's what they say. That's their argument. Of course, they're inane. You know, we support heterosexuality, and we admit that it's possible, and it does happen, to have heterosexual child molestation. But they think you can only have heterosexual. And pedophiles, you can't have homosexual child molesters. That's what they think. That's how perverse. They're so homo, they can't even think straight.
And then there's article after article. The Weekly Standard did a story in January documenting the widespread support for pedophilia among the homosexual community. The top three homosexual magazines, the top publishing house, all sorts of gay authors, well-known, have endorsed pedophilia. And they're the only group I know of that actively promotes pedophilia. Not even Larry Flint will admit to promoting pedophilia. He does, but he would never admit to doing it.
Right. Very good point. I don't know if you recall when I debated Larry Flint on Politically Incorrect.
Oh, I did. It was a great debate.
You saw that show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, during the commercial break, one of the commercial breaks, I was hitting Larry harder than they thought he'd get hit. You know, because you have to have sympathy for him because he's in a wheelchair. He's been paralyzed. Well, I don't have any sympathy for him. He's a filthy pervert, and he's attempted to sexually molest, have sex with, or exploit his own daughters from his own marriages. So he's just a filthy human being. And during the break, his publicist came to him to help him figure out some ammunition against me, because it was going poorly for his side. And since he's in a wheelchair, she bent over to talk to him. And Bill Maher, who hosts this major show on ABC, in front of a live audience of a couple hundred people, he reaches out and gropes her sexually, just despicably, just unbelievably despicable what he did to her. And even if that woman had given Bill Maher permission to grope her whenever he wanted to, right there, that would be perverse. But even if that were the case, what Bill Maher was teaching that studio audience of many people, young and old, women and children even, teenagers at least, he's teaching them that women are just filth to be used and tossed in the gutter. That's it. That's all women are, to be used by men as sex objects. That's the kind of respect for women that Hollywood really has. That's their true side.
I mean, you look at some of the guests he has on, it's Jimmy Kimmel on down the line.
From
the
Man Show.
The same thing,
right?
It seems like.
Hey, Jimmy Kimmel, you know, I've been on there a couple times with that guy, the host of the show called The Man Show.
I've seen that. You ought to see the ads for that. I mean, that.
Well, I don't know if you recall, but on the first time I was on with Jimmy Kimmel, I called him a crotch humorist.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about, you know, we used to have romantic comedies. Today we have genital comedies. And Jimmy, you're a crotch humorist. As a crotch humorist, I don't think your opinion is worth that much. Well, he just made a joke about that. But then 3 months later, I'm back on the show. And he's also on, which is unusual. They normally mix up the panels. And, you know, he remembered very clearly that I had called him a crotch humorist, and he didn't like it any. But he got another dose of it that night.
And the thing that I remember about him on I think it was the second show, is you were calling, you know, you said that, you know, Britney Spears dresses like a slut. And I could not believe it, but he agreed with that. And, I mean, even Jimmy Kimmel agreed with that. And
so did Bill Maher, and so did the audience. I got applause with that, and saying that Britney Spears, that her name, Britney Spears, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is a tramp, and she's teaching millions of young American girls to be sluts. That's what she is teaching them.
And the despicable thing is she claims to be a Christian and a virgin.
Right.
And is there any doubt she's using that as some kind of a tease and to enhance her own record sales? It's just
right.
I've never seen anybody quite like her. Even Madonna. I mean, she rivals Madonna in some of the things that she has been doing.
And Madonna claimed to be like a virgin too, right?
Oh.
And with the religious tie-in, Madonna really emphasized religion in her sexual videos. And it's just an ultimate perversion in an attempt to mock God. But God gets the last laugh. And when he sends these people to hell, assuming they don't repent, when he sends them to hell, he's not going to send them to hell in love. You know, Christians, I don't think about that much.
Well, I actually get accused of mentioning hell too often. Maybe I learned it from you, but hopefully from the Bible,
yeah,
too. And you know, it's hard for a lot. It really hits the unbeliever hard when you tell them they're going to hell. Mm-hmm. They accuse you of being mean and intolerant, but they remember it. And you know, one of the debates we've been having lately is why it's hell forever. Shouldn't God give some, you know, all these people a second chance? What about all the good people that go to hell?
He gives them an infinite number of chances in this life. And God, you know, if a man loves a woman but she doesn't love him, he can't force her to love him. And if he somehow tried to kidnap her and force her to live with him, he'd be sick. He'd be dysfunctional. God is not dysfunctional. If someone doesn't love God, he's not going to force himself on that person. And if somebody says, I don't want to live with God, in fact, I hate God, God will say, well, then you get to choose where you want to live. You want to live in hell? Well, then go to hell.
And she asked, well, I'm trying to my best to search for the truth. She smears God at every chance she gets. But, you know, and I was thinking about it, you know, are really good people in hell, or do they really want to go? And, every person I've known that was not a Christian really had a bitterness toward God, and there's a hatred anytime you bring the subject up.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're out of time. Hey, Kirk, thank you very much for calling. Hey, maybe I'll call you my co-host for the day.
Oh, it'd be an honor.
Since my voice is, you really carried the show, so thanks for doing that.
Sure, no problem.
I appreciate that. What a great voice that Kirk has, huh? That's a radio voice. Hey, you know things that liberals learn from children? I want to end the show with things that liberals learn from children. For example, a king-sized waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house 4 inches deep. Okay, that's one thing liberals learn from children. A king-sized waterbed can fill a 4-foot house 4 inches deep. All right? What else do liberals learn from children? A 3-year-old's voice is louder than 200 adults in a crowded restaurant. That's pretty good. And finally, VCRs do not eject peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. VCRs do not eject peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Now, I've got one of the guys in our studio audience has, how many kids you guys have? Five kids, and they go to public school? No, they just, they're this horrified look on their face. Oh, homeschooled. Any of your kids put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the VCR? Puncture the waterbed? Scream in restaurants? Well, once or twice. Well, with five kids. Hey, and you know, when they're little, like our littlest, Dominic, is 6 months old. And when he's hungry, he wails. He really wails. That's true. But by the time they're three, I think they're pretty good, these kids. We have to see. For those in New York and listening on Information Radio Network, I want to let you know it's a pleasure to be on the air with you. And we look forward to your calls. We have a website that you can check out, kgov.com, kgov.com. We got a lot of fun stuff about the war against terrorism and Osama bin Laden. Hey, the answer to the question, who freed Israel's hand? Who freed up Israel's hand to attack the terrorists? The answer, Osama bin Laden. He did it. Because he overplayed his hand when he attacked us and destroyed the World Trade Center. And he woke the sleeping giant. And now we will destroy the terror networks around the world. And Israel has been freed from our constraints to deal with the terrorism in Arafat's PLO. So it's a good time to be alive. There are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of fascinating things happening, and we have a great God. So I want to thank you guys out there for tuning in. Look forward to tomorrow night's show, when hopefully I'll have a stronger voice and take your calls. Until then, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.